Tonight's scripture reading comes from the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter, verses 10 through 13. Exodus 19, 10 through 13. If you're using the song, the Bible provided in the pews, it'll be on page 70. I will be reading from the New King James Version. Exodus 19, 10 through 13 reads, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. And let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near to the mountain."
Good evening. You can put the Kleenex away. This is not one of those sermons. I feel like I should apologize. This is the sermon that I was supposed to preach this morning. I don't know what supposed to means. This is the sermon I was originally planning on preaching this morning. And I was looking through these slides yesterday. I was getting ready and trying to review the things that I had prepared. And I realized I wasn't thinking about that. I didn't feel like I was in it. And so I called an audible. I don't know anything about sports, but I think that's from football. And I switched gears, and that's what we talked about this morning. But I appreciate you indulging me. I appreciate you all so much, because this morning when I was looking out, I know that it was my grandfather's face that was on one of those slides, but I know that you were seeing the person that meant that to you. And I've heard so many stories, and I've heard so many folks that came up and hugged me and just were great sources of encouragement, and I appreciate you going through that with me. I needed that. I needed that. I don't know if you did, but I did. And it was very, it was therapeutic for me, and it was good to be with God. It was good to allow God to take me through that. And so I appreciate you guys very much. This isn't proper English. I think that title's grammatically incorrect. Where have you come? My mother would not be happy if she saw that. And my next solution would be, well, let's say, where have you come to? And then she would say, no, you can't end a sentence with a preposition. And I would say, to where have you come? And then that would just sound goofy because no one speaks that way. And so that would lead me back here. So that's where we're going to start. So where have you come? You know, we were very fortunate. We're very fortunate today because we saw someone obey the gospel. We saw a soul be added to the Lord's kingdom, to the Lord's church. And that's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. I heard the amens, and I heard the rejoicing when that young soul came up out of that water, and she was clean. She was a babe in Christ. She was a new creature. That's amazing. And to think about where she went today, where she arrived today. She came to the kingdom today. But I want to back up before we get into that too specifically. I want to take you back to the book of Exodus. In chapter 19, it's been 3 months when chapter 19 begins. It's been 3 months since the Israelites have come out of Egypt. And they have traveled through getting out of Egypt to Mount Sinai. And if you look at one of those handy maps in the back of your Bible, there's usually a marker on it. And sometimes it'll have a question mark by it because there's debate as to where that mountain actually is and which side of the Sinai Peninsula and where exactly its location is. And that's not what I'm here to settle tonight. But I know that they arrived at Mount Sinai. So if you look in Exodus chapter 19, it begins by saying, "In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness." So Israel camped there before the mountain. I suppose if they don't really know where the mountain is, then this could be any mountain. But according to the search that I did, they said this is a probable shot of what could possibly be Mount Sinai. So we're going to go with that for right now. That's just for illustration purposes. But they came to this mountain 3 months. Remember that. Keep that in your mind. 3 months since they've left the land of Egypt. Moses led them out, and they have made it to this mountain. So they've come to this mountain. And that, at this moment in their journey, that's where they are. That's where they have arrived. That's where they have come to. Verse 3, and Moses went up to God. I take that to mean that he went up the mountain to God. And the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. That's kind of the foundation for what the people are about to hear, isn't it? God's setting the table for the law that is about to be delivered from Mount Sinai to his people. The people that he promised to take out of Egypt, that he sent Moses to take, that he delivered from the plagues, and he brought them out and he's brought them to Sinai, and he says, if you will indeed obey my voice, he's telling this to Moses, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6, continuing, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Again, talking to Moses. This is God talking to Moses. Verse 7, so Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. So Moses is conveying the Lord's message to the people who have come to this mountain to hear what the Lord has to say. Moses is the messenger. In verse 10 that we just read, that Ethan just read for us, then the Lord said to Moses, there are parameters for this message being delivered. There are instructions for this message. And the Lord says, the people need to prepare before they can hear what I'm going to say to them. And in verse 10, he says, then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. He wanted them to be clean. He wanted them to be clean and pure before they could even hear this message. And let them be ready for the third day. And on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. He wanted the people to be pure. He wanted them to be physically clean and pure and sanctified and set apart and ready to receive the message that he was going to deliver from Sinai. Now, sometimes I read passages like this and I'm like, well, why couldn't the people touch the mountain? It doesn't seem to make any sense to me. But I think about when Moses, when the bush was burning and it wasn't being consumed, and God was talking to Moses, and he approached, and you remember what he had to do to even approach? He had to take his shoes off. God said, where you're walking is holy ground. God was going to descend upon this mountain. His presence was going to be on this mountain to address the people. And that's not a light thing. That is not a small thing. God said, don't let them touch the mountain. And in fact, if someone touches it, then you're not even going to touch that person. They're going to be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast. If anyone touches the mountain, that's how serious God was about this message that was about to be delivered. This message that he was about to give the people who had been brought out of Egypt, 400 years of captivity in Egypt, and here they are at this mountain waiting to hear what their Lord has to say. The Lord that just delivered them out of this captivity. Verse 16, then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. And also the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. He just told Moses the same thing that he's already told Moses. He calls Moses up to the mountain to tell him, go down and warn the people. Don't touch the mountain. Don't come near. Don't let them break through to gaze at me. This is how serious the Lord is taking this message that is about to be delivered. And Moses realizes that the Lord has told him that already. In verse 23, he says, but Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. Then the Lord said to him, away, get down and then come up. You and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. You know what follows. You know what follows in Exodus chapter 20. The Ten Commandments are delivered. Now, in reading this, I found something that I'm not sure I'd ever caught before. It says, God calls Moses up to tell him, go warn the people not to touch the mountain. Go warn the priests to consecrate themselves. And it says at the very end of chapter 19, so Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. And then chapter 20 begins by saying, and God spoke all these words, saying. So we're not going to read through the Ten Commandments. You know the Ten Commandments. They were the basis for the law. They were the beginning of the law. But what I think sometimes we fail to realize is there was so much more to the old law than the Ten Commandments. You want to read the rest of the law? Read the rest of the law. Read Exodus, read Leviticus, read Numbers, read about all of these rules and regulations that God had for his people. It was so much larger than 10. But there's something that happens after the 10 that's very significant. So Moses is down from the mountain, and God speaks. God speaks. He delivers the 10 commandments. And then skip with me down to verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. So the way I'm reading this, Moses went down to the people to warn them not to break through. The Ten Commandments are delivered. The people hear, and they're terrified. They're terrified, and they say to Moses, you speak with us. They're okay with Moses talking to them, but they heard the thunderings. They heard the lightnings. I presume that they heard what God just said in the Ten Commandments. And it says, then Moses goes up to talk to God again. So Moses was down there with the people for the 10. When the 10 were delivered, Moses is the one that receives the rest of it. But the people were terrified. They were terrified. Now, I think about these people, I think about the Israelites, and I think about the fact that they were in Egypt for hundreds of years. They're only 3 months removed from that captivity. Generations and generations of captivity in a land that wasn't theirs. And I wonder how much they knew or truly understood about God. I don't think it was that much, because you know how the story goes. You know, it doesn't take them long to make idols and return to things that were contrary to God in all shapes and forms. So they couldn't have been that grounded. So here is this people standing at this foot of this mountain, and God is speaking, and they say, you speak to us, Moses, but don't let God, because we might die. And I think about the thunder and the lightning and the things that the people must have said and the smoke. The Lord descended upon the mountain. I don't know how to understand that. What does that mean? The Lord descended upon the mountain. I can read the words, but the Lord descended. He was there. He was there. It was going to be the penalty of death if you touched the place where he was, unless you were invited, unless you were Moses and he called you up there. So the people are terrified. And I think about how, you know, going back to this past couple of weeks for me, I think about, you know, when we were, it was Wednesday morning, Wednesday morning at 6 a.m., the wind started in Puerto Rico two Wednesdays ago. The wind started, and it woke us up. And I can sleep through just about anything. I have a pretty amazing track record of sleeping through crying babies, sleeping through, like, you know, thunderstorms. I'm good. I'm good when I go to sleep. That woke me right up when that wind started coming. We woke up, power went out, the wind started coming. And we were about 40 miles from the eye of the storm. The eye of the storm was actually crossing over more the U.S. Virgin Islands, which we could actually see from our house. We could see from where we were staying. We could see St. Thomas. And I've never heard anything like that before in my whole life. The day prior, you could look out our window and you could see the ocean. Wednesday, you looked out, you couldn't see the pillars of the porch because the rain was so thick and the clouds were so thick, and it was, and you'd see lightning every now and then, and the rain and the wind, and it felt like the house was being attacked. It felt like there was a jet trying to land on the roof of the house, and it was like that for 15, 16 hours until that night when the storm had finally passed at about 11 o'clock that night. So that was our Wednesday, you know, and I was thinking about that when I thought about how scared the people were, because we were terrified. Leanne and I were terrified. The kids were fine. Like, I don't know why. Like, that's great. It's not like we were trying to shield them. We were like, look, guys, there's a hurricane coming. And they were like, seriously, we're trying to go play. Like, why are you bothering us? And they would come in. Leanne and I would be mopping up water that was coming in doors, and they would come in costumes, and they'd be like, look, we're angry birds. And I'd be like, there's like 180 mile per hour winds outside. What are you doing? But I'm thankful. I'm thankful that they weren't scared. I'm very thankful that they weren't worried about that. But Leanne and I were, and we were scared. And I wonder, like, that's my closest reference to how these people would have felt. That's my closest reference. It's pretty fresh on my mind right now. And so I know that they were scared, because I'm pretty sure what they went through was worse. When thunder and lightning and clouds descended upon the mountain, and they hear the Lord speak, and they said, Moses, you speak to us, but don't let him, because we might die. That was how important, that was how severe this situation was. That was where the old covenant began. Prior to that, there was no old covenant. Prior to that, there was no law of Moses, there was no Levitical priesthood, there was no Sabbath, there was no anything. There was no law. There was a patriarchal, you know, covenant that God had with heads of households. But prior to that, there was no law of Moses. At that point, that's where the people had come. That is where they had arrived. They were at the foot of this mountain. They were receiving the law of Moses. I want you to turn to Hebrews. All of that was just set up. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And I want you to think about what we saw today. You know, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the kids and pew packers got to go up and take a little tour of the baptistry. I think that was a great idea. I'm glad that Kevin and Jed did that with the kids and everybody that helped out with that. You know, because they do. They think that, you know, when that screen's up and those curtains are open and someone walks out there, they think that's pretty amazing. You know, my children watch with wide eyes when that happens. And it is amazing. It is amazing because someone goes down in water and they come up a new creature. You know, not because there's anything special about that water. Not because there's anything special about, I mean, there's a lot of things special about Greg, but not because there's anything special in Greg baptizing her. Not that there's anything special in Jamie, although there are many special things about Jamie, in taking her confession. We didn't save her. God saved her. God saved her. That baptism washed away her sins because it was God's power that was in that water. It didn't have a thing to do with what we've got here, other than the truth. Other than the plan, we know the way. And a soul responded and was added to the Lord. And praise God for that. Praise God for that. But I want you to think about her. I want you to think about you. I want you to think about you when you were baptized. And where you have come. So Hebrews chapter 12. Go down to verse 18. Because after that amazing story, after the severity and the gravity of that story that we just read in Exodus chapter 19, the Hebrew writer contrasts that very strongly. In verse 18, he says, "For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded, And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. Pause there for just a second. You even get a little snippet, because Moses thinking that isn't actually recorded in Exodus chapter 19. He's actually the one that tells the people, don't fear, the Lord has come to test you. But Moses was scared too, apparently, according to the Hebrew writer. Moses was scared too by what he saw. Why wouldn't he have been? Wouldn't you have been scared? I'd have been terrified. You kidding me? I would have been at the back of the camp. You know, there's no way I would have been anywhere near the mountain. It would have been horrifying to see all of that. I would have been asking Moses to speak with me and not let God. I would have been afraid of dying. I understand their fear. I totally get that. But the Hebrew writer says, you. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to Hebrews that have come out of that covenant. He spent so long talking about the difference in this book, in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and the need for the New Covenant, and why the Old Covenant wasn't sufficient, and why there was a need for a New Testament. And he gets to this point, and he says, you have not come to that mountain. So they would have known this story very well. This would have been a hallmark, a foundation of their very religion. That they came to this mountain, and that's where the law was delivered. But the Hebrew writer says, you have not come to that mountain. And so if they haven't come to that mountain, where have they come? And if you haven't come to that mountain, where have you come? Pick back up in verse 22. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The old covenant was a powerful covenant. It came with power. God descended upon a mountain, and they received the word from God. And Moses received the law that they were to adhere to, that they were to follow, that they were to observe and to cherish and to teach their children. But the Hebrew writer says that now Christians have come to something so much more amazing. I want to stop for a second. This is the new congregational photo that I just happened to not be here for, so I'm not in there anywhere. I'm going to Photoshop myself somewhere in there. My family's in there. I'm thankful for that. But this is where you have come. Did you hear that description of where you have come? Of where Christians come? You have not come to a mountain. You have not come to a mountain to be afraid. You have not come to a mountain that's covered in darkness and tempest and that would make you tremble. You have come to Zion. You have come to Mount Zion. Zion's the hill, you know, in Jerusalem that has become synonymous with Jerusalem itself and with the church in the new covenant. But that's where you have come. I am so thankful. I am so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for this group of people. I'm so thankful for the Lord's church. And sometimes it becomes habitual. You know, we come here and we do these things, and these are the things that we do, and we've been taught them, and they're easy, and we know them, and we know when the sermon's supposed to be, and when the Lord's Supper's supposed to be, and it's habit. It's habit. And I suppose that's one of the best habits you could possibly have, but we cannot fail to see the significance of this organization. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I don't cherish it like I should, and I don't love it, and I don't hold it up, and I don't admire it like I should. But the Hebrew writer says, you have come to Mount Zion. This list right here, see if this plays. I pulled all of the singular thoughts of where you have come out. Think about that young girl that was baptized this morning, Angel Fleming. Think about her. She's come to all these places. Doesn't this sound pretty good to you? Doesn't it sound pretty good to have arrived here? The city of the living God? Are you happy about being in that city? This is not talking about heaven. It's talking about the church. This is not talking about the glorified. This is not talking about what comes after. He's talking about the difference between the two covenants. There were people that arrived at a mountain, and there was a law given, but you haven't come there. You have come to Mount Zion. You are members of the Lord's church. You belong in the city of the living God, in heavenly Jerusalem. Still Jerusalem, but not the physical Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem, where God dwells with his people. Innumerable angels. We said this morning, I think whoever that was, it was Demeji, in his prayer said, the angels are rejoicing because there's a soul baptized. They were. They were. They were rejoicing. They were singing in heaven. The book of Revelation, when it paints the picture of the things that are going on in heaven, people are there singing. They're there praising God. They're surrounding the throne, and they're only there because they are part of the city of the living God. And they are surrounded by innumerable angels. The firstborn enrolled in heaven, you have now arrived to God the judge. You are in company with him. The spirits of the righteous made perfect. Made perfect by what? The fancy water that we have at the baptistry here at Avondale? No, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because that's where the power is. That's where the power to forgive sins is. And you encounter that in that water. Jesus, the mediator. He's the one. He's the one that is talking to God on our behalf. Matthew 10:32-33 says, those that confess me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. You know, we talk about that a lot. You know, Jamie stood up here with Angel and asked her if she believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And she said yes. She said yes. And you know what happened then? Jesus turned around and said, she's mine. Jesus turned around and said, she's with me. You know, and I don't mean to make light of it and to make it, you know, more simpler, to simplify it too far. But that's what Jesus does. He confesses you before God. And it doesn't stop there. You know, sometimes we leave confession just right there and that's it. But every time you are bold enough to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, Jesus turns around and says, he's mine, she's mine. He belongs to me. Jesus is your mediator. That's incredible. You've come to a place where Christ is arguing on your behalf. He is passing notes to God about you because you have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. The new covenant that is better than that mountain that terrified people, better than that mountain that terrified Moses and made the people afraid and made them tremble. You have come to a better place because you have come to the church, to the sprinkled blood, to the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins, that you only encounter in baptism. I was raised in the church. I wasn't the most faithful, wasn't the most dedicated throughout some of my, you know, college years and late high school. I wasn't. My heart wasn't in it. I went through the motions, but I wasn't in it. And I go through waves in life where it becomes too much of a habit for me. And I think sometimes it takes things like grandfather's dying and reading scripture that touches you. God is not talking to you while you're at, you know, at home. He's not whispering things in your ear, but he is still speaking to you. Because when you open up his word, you are hearing him. You are hearing what he has to say. You are finding out what he wants from you. And he is comforting you and telling you that you have not come to a mountain that was covered in blackness and darkness. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. And you should be so very thankful for that. I should be so very thankful for that. And as many times as I forget that and I forget how important that is, I need to be reminded and I need to read things like Hebrews. I need to read Hebrews chapter 12 so that I am reminded of where I've come and where I've arrived. After this passage, I'm going to read five more verses and this sermon will be over. It says, you haven't come to the mountain, but you've come to Mount Zion. You haven't come to Sinai, but you've come to Mount Zion. You've come to spiritual Jerusalem. You've come to the city of the living God. You've come to innumerable angels. You've come to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to God the judge, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, to the sprinkling of blood that speaks better things than that of Abel. Verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. That's a pretty stark warning. See that you don't refuse him who speaks. Because you see the comparison being made here? When they arrived at the mountain, God spoke, and they were scared. And the Hebrew writer says, you haven't arrived at that mountain, but you've come to Mount Zion. Now see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. If you remember the dream that Daniel interpreted of Nebuchadnezzar's, and he had seen the statue with the head of gold and the body of silver, and you know the elements. And Daniel interpreted it and said, there's going to be a kingdom that comes after you, and it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be as mighty, and there's going to be another one, and it's going to come, and there's going to be another one. And the stone that was cut from the mountain, that's going to be a kingdom that shall never be shattered. It'll stand forever. And it's going to come and destroy all those other kingdoms. He was talking about the church. That's the kingdom that will never be shaken. That's the kingdom that he's talking about right here. The church of Christ. The church that belongs to the Lord. It is such an amazing privilege to be a member of the Lord's church. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I just obeyed God. I obeyed God. I submitted to his will. You did the same thing. When you were baptized, you became a citizen of that kingdom, the kingdom that cannot be shaken. I know that this sermon is not really that different from this morning's sermon, because you know why all that's possible? Because Jesus rose. Because Jesus rose. Because he wasn't in the tomb when they went to look for him. It's essentially the same sermon. It's the gospel. I apologize. I gave you the same sermon in two different versions. I just dressed them up differently. I was listening to the kids down here at Pew Packers, and Jed asked him. He was talking about, you know, the deep and wide song that they sing. And I've never understood why the hmm and hmm part. And I'm glad to hear that Jed didn't really have an answer either. He was like, oh, that's just for fun. But that fountain, it's... The fountain is the blood of Christ that washes our sins away. That's what they needed to know. And he talked about, Jed referenced the sermon this morning, and he said, you know, because Jesus died, but what did he do after that? And I think the word that he was looking for was he rose. And I can't remember exactly who said it. It might have been Ian Hannibal. But he said, he rose erected. And I said, amen. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He resurrected. He rose from that grave, and he made all of this possible. You have come to Jesus. You have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You have come to the city of innumerable angels. You have come to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Made perfect because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Made perfect because of the sacrifice that was made on your behalf. The position that we have is a heavy one. It's a serious one. I think it's just as serious as God was when he said, don't come near this mountain and don't touch it. The rules are different. You know, we're not forbidden from coming to this mountain. We're actually invited onto this mountain to be with God, to be part of his city, to be part of the city of the living God, to be part of his kingdom. So if you are not a part of that kingdom tonight, I want you to consider becoming one, because there's no hope outside of that city. There's no salvation outside of the walls of that kingdom. There's no salvation in any other kingdom. It's only through Christ. I was talking with somebody this morning, and we were talking about just the fact, it was after the sermon, we were talking about the fact that Jesus is not just one of many choices. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me. So he's either lying or the Bible is true. You can't compromise that. Christ drew that line in the sand that he is it. That he is it. And when you come up out of those waters, you have come to the kingdom that cannot be shaken. And I am going to leave here being happier about that. And I might lose my zeal. I'm riding a high right now. I might lose my zeal a little bit next week. I might lose it in the coming weeks. But I'm going to find it again. And I'm going to try to keep it closer. And I'm going to try to keep it higher so that I can continue on that. And I can shine my light before other people, because sometimes I lose it. Sometimes it goes a little dim. I know that. And that might happen to you too. But you need to take comfort in your citizenship in that kingdom that cannot be shaken. If you have been baptized, then you are a member of that kingdom. Our new sister, Angel Fleming, is a member of that kingdom, is a citizen in that kingdom that cannot be shaken. She was not this morning at, I don't know what time, I preached a little bit long, I apologize. You know, she wasn't at like 11, but at like 11:30 she was. She was a member of the Lord's kingdom. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. I thank God for this kingdom. I'm thankful that if you've been baptized, that you're a part of it. And if you've lost your zeal and if you've wandered away from it, you can come back. And you can come back tonight. If you are not a citizen of that kingdom, then become one. Become one and find that salvation and find that confidence and find that zeal that I know that you're going to want. I know that you want. And I know that will make you feel fantastic, because God will wash away your sins. There's no power in anyone here, but the power is in God's plan. And if you need to submit to God's plan this evening, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.